ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11th चैप्टर 6 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द यदु डायनेस्टी रिटायर्स टू प्रभास टेक्स्ट नंबर 20 and 21। श्री बादरायणी उवाच इति अभिष्टुय विबुदे शेष शत धृतिर्हरिम् अभ्यभासत गोविंदम् प्रणाम्याम्बरमाश्रित श्री बादरायणिरुवाच इति अभिष्टुय विबुदे शेषः शतधृतिर्हरिम् अभ्यभाषत गोविंदम् प्रणम्याम्बरमाश्रितः श्री बादरायणि उवाच इति अभिष्टुय विभुदे शेषः शतधृतिहरिम् अभ्यभाषत गोविंदम् प्रणम्याम्बरमाश्रितः। Matajis. Translation. Shri Shukdev Goswami continued. After Brahma, along with Lord Shiva and the other demigods, thus offered prayers to the Supreme Lord Govinda, Lord Brahma situated himself in the sky and addressed the Lord as follows. Since there is no purport to it, we will read the next text, text number 21. Shri Brahmo Vacha Bhumer Bharavataraya Pura Vigyapita Prabho Tvam Asmabhir Asheshatman Tat Tathaivo Papaditam. Translation. Lord Brahma said, My dear Lord, previously we requested you to remove the burden of the earth. O unlimited personality of Godhead, that request has certainly been fulfilled. Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Lord Krishna might have said to the demigods, Actually, you requested Kshirodakshaya Vishnu to come down. So why are you saying that you requested me? After all, I am Govinda. Therefore, Brahma has addressed the Lord here as Ashesh Atma, or the unlimited personality of Godhead, from whom all plenary expansions of Vishnu emanate. This is the opinion of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadameyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vande Aham Shri Guru Shri Yudha Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesh Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurahangi Vrahade Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchagalvadarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripa tamaham vande shri gurum dinatarinam shri chaitanyam ishwaram paramananda madhavam. Translation of text 20th. Shri Shukdev Goswami said, Shri Shukdev Goswami continued, After Brahma, along with Lord Shiva and the other demigods, thus offered prayers to the Supreme Lord Govinda, Lord Brahma situated himself in the sky and addressed the Lord as follows. Text 21. Lord Brahma said, My dear Lord, previously we requested you to remove the burden of the earth. O unlimited personality of Godhead, that request has certainly been fulfilled. Seek the blessings of all the devotees. Wish to apologize. Generally on Saturdays, Sundays, senior sannyasis, senior devotees, they are there on the Vyasasana to give the talk. But today I have been ordered. So just fulfilling the orders of my seniors, I'll just try to speak something for my own purification. So this is the verse from the 11th canto where now Brahmaji has appeared along with the demigods to request the Lord to wind up his pastime very soon and can return back home. So I just thought today would take this opportunity to speak on the life of Brahmaji, one of the main Mahajans, one of the 12 Mahajans, specially empowered by the Lord to perform so many various services in his mission. So, briefly try to touch upon various pastimes of Brahmaji, right from his birth and wherever he appears in Srimad Bhagavatam. Sixth canto explains Swayambhu Narada Shambhu Kumar Kapilo Manu Prahlada Janako Bhishma Balir Vaya Sakhim Vayam. The 12 Mahajans, the first and the foremost is Swayambhu, that is Lord Brahma, Narada, his son, Narad Muni, Shambhu, the Lord Shiva, he is also, Rudra is also the son of Brahma, Kumara, four Kumaras, also actually happens to be the son of Lord Brahma. Kapila, Manu is also directly comes from Brahma. And Prahlada, Janaka, Bhishma, Balir, Bali Maharaj, and Vyasakhim is Shukadeva Goswami, and Vayam is Yamaraj. So, I was just trying to analyze the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. There are two personalities who have practically appeared in all the cantos, right from first canto to the 12th canto. And that is none other than Lord Brahma and his son Narad Muni. Practically appears right from first till the 12th canto. Prabhupada explains in various purports that Lord Brahma is the first primeval Lord. Not only that, he is the supreme amongst all the demigods, amongst all the living entities, and not only that, amongst all the lower animals also. So just as there is a word called Atma and Mahatma, similarly there is a word called Jana and Mahajan. Just as insignificant living entity comes in contact with Maha or unlimited or great personality like Lord himself, similarly when this great when this Jana or people, ordinary people, when they come in actually contact with the Supreme Lord, they actually become Mahajan. Prabhupada was giving a talk, this is a famous pastime. Prabhupada was giving a talk and Prabhupada was speaking about 12 Mahajans. And after speaking about 12 Mahajans, one devotee got up and said, Prabhupada, you are the 13th Mahajan. And Prabhupada immediately promptly replied, you are the 14th one. So anyone who actually takes shelter of the Devi Prakriti of the Lord, Mahatmanastu Mam Partha Devi Prakriti Mashritaha, they actually get an opportunity to associate with the Lord and his great devotees like Mahajans. So we will discuss the main, we will broadly discuss three main aspects. First is what are the salient features, some extraordinary features that we see in the life of Brahmaji. Second is various roles that Brahmaji plays in the mission of the Lord. And the third is what is Brahmaji's contribution to the society, humanity at large. So Brahmaji is the first created being as we discussed. And the word Brahma and Brahma are two separate words. The word Brahma comes from the root called Briha. Briha means all expansive. So here the Brahma, word Brahma means that expansive potency of the Lord, that is Brahma Jyoti. And Brahma refers to that person Brahma who was actually created by the Lord himself. This Brahma has various names. Here we see one of the names that's mentioned here in this verse number 20th is Shatadriti. Shatadriti refers to Lord Brahma. There are various names by which Brahma is being referred to in Bhagavatam, few of them are Swayambhu or Atmabhu, one who is self-born, or Atmabhava, one who did not need, one who was born of Lord Vishnu or Narayan without the contact of Lakshmiji. One more name is Hiranyagarbha, who was born from the womb of Lord himself. One more name is Pitamaha. He is the grandfather of all the living entities. In fact, Lord Krishna, this word Pitamaha comes in Bhagavad Gita also, where Krishna is called Prapitamaha and Brahmaji is called Pitamaha. And Brahmaji is also called as Prajapati. Prajapati means one who actually takes the charge of procreating. Vayur Yamognir Varuna Shashanka Prajapatis Tvam Prapitamahascha Namo Namaste Stu Sahastrakutva Punascha Bhuyopi Namo Namaste. This verse comes in 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 39th verse, where here Lord Krishna is addressed as Prapitamaha, who is the great grandfather of all the living entities. And Prajapati is here referring to Prajapati Stvam Prapitamahascha. Prajapati refers to Lord Brahma. One more name is of Lord Brahma is Virinchi. I tried to find out the meaning of Virinchi, but I couldn't find out. One more name is Vidhi, one who actually writes all the rules and regulations. Vidhi Vidhan Karta. That's why the name of Brahma is Vidhi. One more name of Brahma is K-A-H. And Veda Garbha. When he was born, right at the beginning of his birth, Vedas were impregnated into his heart. One of his name is Vagish. Vagish. Vagi refers to Mother Saraswati, who is the goddess of learning, Vak, speech, who gives us the power to speak. And Vidya, she is the goddess of Vidya, learning. And this Vidya is expressed through Vani. So when someone speaks something, that time we realize, that time we come to know whether this person is speaking about Vidya or Avidya. So Vagi referred to Saraswati, and Vagish refers to Brahma, who is the husband of Saraswati. One more name is Vishwato Mukha. Lord Krishna, in the 10th chapter, when he's describing the opulence, he is coming up with this verse, Aksharanam Akarosmi Dvanda Samasikasya Cha Aham Aham Eva Akshaya Kala Dhataham Vishwato Mukha, where he says, of all the creators, I am none other than Brahma. So these are the different names, which I could find in Bhagavatam. There could be many more. The next very interesting feature about Lord Brahma is his lifespan. The figures are quite fantastic, mind-boggling. It is said that Brahma leaves, the lifespan of Brahma is 100 years. But what is that 100 years? The one day of Brahma, as we all have heard, one day of Brahma is four yugas. The span of four yugas multiplied by 1,000. Now, Satyuga has a span of 17,28,000 years. What comes after Satyuga is Treta Yuga. Treta Yuga has a span of 12,096,000 years.
Dwapar has 864,000 years and Kaliyuga has half, 432,000 years. If we add up, if we sum up all these years, that makes one Yuga cycle. So that total comes to 43,20,000 years. 43,20,000 years makes a one day of Brahma. Into thousand makes a one day of Brahma. And equally is one night. And you multiply that by 2. And then you multiply that by 30 becomes 1 month of Brahma. And you multiply that by 12, that comes to 1 year of Brahma. And Brahma lives for 100 years. So you multiply again by 100. That's the lifespan. And Prabhupada, in short, explains that we not go to calculate, but Prabhupada explains that the lifespan of Brahma is 311 trillion years and 40 billion years. Which is a big figure for a living entity who can just struggle to live hardly for 100 years. No, seems quite fantastic and practically interminable. But Prabhupada writes a fantastic purport about that. Prabhupada writes that in a causal ocean, there are innumerable Brahmas that keep rising and keep disappearing. Like bubbles in the Atlantic Ocean. So, from the eternality point of view, even the lifespan of Brahma is like a bubble. So, we don't stand anywhere. We don't exist actually. The word exist doesn't exist for us. In fact, the Guinness Book of World Records says that the oldest person who lived in this world lived only till 126 years. Of course, we know Bhishma Pitama, he lived for 450 years. Lord Krishna personally, when he was on this planet Earth, he lived for 125 years. But this person, this she's a lady. Her name is Jenny Lewis Calment. She lived for 22 years and 164 days. And she left her body in the year 1997. And currently, the next person who is trying to supersede her is also a lady. She is Emma Murano. Her age is currently, she just celebrated 117 years. And she was the one who has actually touched three centuries. She was born in the year 1899. So she's seen practically three centuries. The only lady who happened to be there for three centuries. And we all know when someone reaches the age of 100, that person gets an opportunity to meet the Queen of England. But what is 100 years or what is 126 years in compared to the lifespan? These figures should humble us rather than we asking a question whether such lifespan does exist. Because even a mosquito, even if a mosquito gets to know that Jenny Lewis lived for 126 years, mosquito will ask the same question. Mosquito will also get the doubt whether such lifespan also exists. So such mind-boggling figures should humble us, make us realize that we have very few years at our disposal to live in. Let's make the best use of it and perfect our lives. So when we understand the lifespan of Brahma, we realize our own insignificance and our respect for such personality goes up and grows up. So that's the lifespan of Brahma. Prabhupada writes in one of the purports, one more salient feature about Brahmaji is, Prabhupada writes in the purport that great learned scholars have concluded that Lord Krishna possesses 64 principal attributes. And the 64 principal attributes, no one possesses except Lord Krishna. Only Krishna possesses those attributes 100%. Krishna's personal expansions or Vishnu Tattva can at the max come close to 100%, that is 93% of those attributes of Lord Krishna. Lord Shiva can come close to 83% of those attributes. And living entities, Prabhupada mentions, possess very minute percentage of the attributes that Lord possesses. And with their pious activities, with their good karma, they can reach closest up to 78%. And Brahmaji possesses 78% of Lord's principal attributes. One more speciality about Brahmaji is Brahmaji doesn't carry any weapons. If you have noticed, unlike other demigods, all the demigods, Indra has his vajra, or Yamraj will have his rod to punish. Various demigods carry various weapons, but Brahmaji doesn't carry any weapon. He doesn't have any weapon. The reason being, because he's a Brahmana. Brahmanas don't fight. He's the original Brahmana. So Brahmanas don't fight. Although from Brahma comes Indra, who is a Kshatriya. From Brahma comes many kings who are actually Kshatriyas. So this itself refutes the caste system, which says that actually, everything is based on the rights, birthright. But it's based on guna and karma. From Brahma comes Indra, who possesses the quality of a Kshatriya. That's why he is a Kshatriya and he carries weapons. So all these demigods, although they carry weapon, and Brahmaji doesn't carry any weapon, but it's interesting to note that when any difficulty comes, all these demigods run to Brahmaji, who is actually weaponless, for shelter, for help. So the reason being, Brahmaji carries the true weapon of remembrance of the Lord all throughout. And he's constantly meditating on Lord's holy name. Brahmaji has a very big family. There's so many sons. The main are the 10 sons before the Chatushkumaras, Rudra and Rudra's associates. Then Brahma gave birth to the main 10 sons, Pulaha, Pulatsya, Marichi, and Angira, Atri, from whom actually the entire creation continued. So Brahmaji is responsible. That's his main occupation. He's responsible for Visarga or the secondary creation. Atra sarga visargascha sthanam poshanam utayah manvantara ishanukatha nirodha mukti rashvayah. So the entire secondary creation, the primary creation is done by the Lord himself, but the secondary creation is done by Brahmaji and his sons. Where does Brahmaji stay? Brahmaji's abode is called Satyalok or Brahmalok. If you compare this entire planetary system to a 14-story building, then Brahmaji stays on the topmost floor. That's Satyaloka. So 7 stories are above the earth planet and 7 stories are below the earth planet. And earth is like a podium. Nowadays, if you go to big skyscrapers, practically 9-10 stories are like the basement where parking takes place. And then comes the podium where there is swimming pool and the court and so many things. And from there begins the first floor. So earth is like a podium. The ground, the lower are the the below are the lower planetary systems, which is all created by Brahma. So Brahmaji stays on the topmost floor, having a bird's eye view of what's happening there. And what is Brahmaji's main occupation? Brahmaji's main occupation is he distributes knowledge. From his mouth comes Vedas. When Brahmaji heard the flute of Lord Krishna, that flute emitted a sound which could not be repeated. That sound of Lord Krishna's flute is advitiya. Advitiya means which cannot be repeated. But then when that sound which emitted from Krishna's flute was put into words, that words were none other than the Gayatri Mantra. So it's Gayatri Mantra is nothing but Krishna's flute sound that manifested into words. So I'll just, these are some of the salient features that Prabhupada mentions in Bhagavatam. I'll just try to briefly touch upon Brahmaji's role in this entire mission of the Lord. There are around 12 roles that, various roles that Brahmaji plays that we come to know when we read Bhagavatam, various cantos of Bhagavatam. Basically, Brahmaji is a multifaceted personality. The first and the foremost role, service that Brahmaji accepts is, as we all know, a creator. The third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam explains in detail the birth of Brahma and how Brahmaji performed severe penances and got darshan of the Lord, and then performed severe penances for 100 years before he was empowered to create. And that detailed explanation comes in the second and the third canto, the sub-creation or the Visarga part. That's the first and the foremost service or the role that Brahmaji plays as creator. He also plays a role of a scholar. In second canto, it is explained that when Brahmaji was supposed to only hear the Vedas from the Supreme Lord, but Brahmaji not only heard the Vedas, but he read the Vedas three times, scrutinizingly and attentively. And after reading Vedas personally for three times, Brahmaji comes to conclusion that Lord Krishna is, attraction for Lord Krishna is the highest religious principle or the perfection of religion. So Prabhupada in that purport mentions Lord Brahma as a scholarly person. Prabhupada says that Vedas were taught to be in the beginning of creation, and although Brahma was to hear the Vedic instructions directly from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just like a scholar studies the Vedas three times in order to satisfy the inquisitiveness of all the prospective students of the Vedas, Brahmaji also studied the Vedas three times. So if Prabhupada says, if the most intelligent person on this creation, concludes that attraction to Lord Krishna is the perfection of all the religion, then his words must be accepted as the gospel truth, Prabhupada writes. So here Prabhupada is mentioning how Lord Brahma is taking a role of a scholar and studying, scrutinizing the Vedic scriptures and coming to conclusion. So this is the second role that we see Brahmaji taking up, a role as a scholar. Third, Brahma, the first is creator, second is being a scholar, third is cooperator. This is one more role that Brahmaji takes up. When Brahmaji got the darshan of the Lord, Lord told him to perform penances for 100 years. Brahmaji was empowered to create, But even that empowerment did not come so easily. It did not come handy to him. He had to undergo that penances. He had to undergo that tapasya for 100 years before he could be empowered. Any project, big or small, if has to be preceded with this element of tapasya, then comes real success. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, before starting his embarking on his mission to open Gaudiya Math, he underwent severe penances. In the year 1931, at the age of 31, in the year 1905, at the age of 31, Saraswati Thakur took a very severe vow of chanting every day 3 lakh names of Lord Hari. And he took a vow to chant 1 billion names, which would take minimum 9 years to complete that vow. And religiously he took up that vow and performed every day that tapasya of chanting the holy names. Not only that, he would stay in a raw hut, which did not have a proper ceiling, and during rainy season, the hut would leak, and he would hold umbrella and continue his chanting. He would sleep on the floor. He would eat only cooked rice that was dried under sun, and that too he would spread out on the ground, and as much as he could leak with his tongue for one time. That was his regulative principle, that was his vow that he would perform every single day. And Prabhupada writes that actually, that when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Guru Maharaj, Gaur Kishwardas Babaji Maharaj, saw this type of immense tapasya performed by his disciple, he commented that, I observe that the renunciation of Srila Rupa and Raghunath is manifesting in my Prabhu. So, Prabhupada also explains that from childhood, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a Naistik Brahmachari. And he underwent severe penances for starting his movement, a worldwide movement. That was his mission. And we all know how much tapasya Prabhupada underwent in order to create ISKCON. So, tapasya has to be preceded when we embark on any mission or any project. Whether it's bigger the project, bigger should be the tapasya. Bringing a child into this world, that means we are undergoing a wonderful creation. Preceding to that conception is recommended a Garbhadhan Samskar, which is actually a type of tapasya which is recommended, where a husband and a wife comes together and chant 50 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So, Brahmaji had to undergo that 100 years of tapasya because his project was very big. He had a massive project, a mammoth size project and thankless task to perform. So Brahmaji underwent durapahi alpa tapasa seva vaikunta vartmasu yatropagiyate nityam deva devo janardana. For those who have performed least austerity, it is not easy to get service of the Lord. Durapahi alpa tapasa seva vaikunta vartmasu. So tapasya gives two things. One is purification and second is empowerment. So when Brahmaji performed tapasya for 100 years, he actually got purified and he was empowered to create. That's why Lord Krishna tells, yagya dana tapak karma na tyajyam kare mevatat yagyo dano tapascheva pavanani manishinam. It purifies. Yagya, dan and tapa should never be given up by anyone. Because it has the power to purify everyone. So, Brahmaji got the direct service from the Lord, but to receive that service, he had to perform that tapasya. And many times, we think that we haven't done much tapasya, but we have received so much of service, a direct service. But actually, all this tapasya has been done by our acharyas on behalf, for us actually. Because they did tapasya, we are actually enjoying the fruit. Someone who does the tapasya of planting a mango seed may not be able to reap, may not be able to enjoy the fruits, but few generations down the line, people will get to enjoy the fruits. Similarly, the tapasya done by our acharyas have actually helped us. And actually, their tapasya is giving us a chance to enjoy the fruit. That is, we are getting this service so easily. So we should not take any service that given to us for granted. So Brahmaji, we were discussing this topic of how Brahmaji takes up the role of being a cooperator. So Brahmaji, he had to create, but then he had to undergo that inconvenience of doing 100 years of penances. Not only that, Bhagavatam explains, the third canto of Bhagavatam explains that Brahmaji was pained to actually create. Because he knew that what he is about to create is going to really put the living entities into misery. So Brahmaji's heart and head are at conflict. His head is creative, his head is innovative. But his heart is very soft. His heart is soft like a cream of a heart is like a soft cream. And many times we are also at a conflict. Our heart says something else, our head says something else. Arjun underwent the same issue, same problem. His head was saying something else, his heart was saying something else. They were at the conflict. That's why it is said that one may be in control, one may be the master of one's thoughts, but one may still be the slave of one's own emotions. The emotions are so empowering, the emotions are so overwhelming, the heart may many a times overpower the head. But when a person is on a mission, then he has to balance the working of the heart and the head. If he just goes to extreme of just following the head and not following the heart, then he may become very hard-hearted. The heart may become very hard. And if a person just simply follows his heart, just gets carried away by the emotion and not focus on Lord's service or the mission, then he may get overpowered by sentiments. So here, Brahmaji, when he's offering his heartfelt prayers to Lord Vishnu, he comes up with this beautiful verse. Kshutritritatu birima murardhyamana shitoshnavata varasher itaretarascha kamagninam achyutarusha cha sudurbharena sampashyato mana urukramasi dateme. Brahmaji's heart is pained when he's offering his prayer to Lord Vishnu and he's telling that, my dear Lord, very soon I will be actually putting all this hunger, thirst, insatiable lust and anger in the life of living entities. My heart goes out for them. And Brahmaji was actually, Prabhupada writes in the purport, that Brahmaji was not at all happy at heart. He was not at all satisfied at heart to perform this service. But because it was the will of the Lord, Brahmaji is willing to cooperate. And Brahmaji kept aside his own emotions. Brahmaji very well knew that soon people will actually blame me for creating such miseries in our life. People will write songs in movies. There are songs that have come up. There's one famous song, I used to personally like this song. Duniya banane wale, kya tere man mein samayi, kahe ko duniya banayi, tune kahe ko duniya banayi. Why did you make this duniya in the first place? Of course, the lyrics later on says that basically the relationship in this world are actually very much based on emotions. When people come together, you know, they develop attachment. But very soon, the nature of this world is people have to separate. So when people are separated, the pain is much more than the pleasure that is experienced. So that's the reason this person in the movie is saying, why did you make this world at the first place? It's so painful. Everything ends in pain. There is the pain has its roots in the pleasure. The person can only see the pleasure at the front end, but can't see the pain that's attached to it. So Brahmaji, his heart is paining, but he keeps aside his emotions because he's on a mission. So that's why it is said that one should not try to control. One should become master of one's emotion, otherwise emotion may enslave a person. Not only that, Brahmaji is then giving birth to the four Kumaras. And these four Kumaras, the whole purpose of them and coming into this world was so that Brahmaji could tell them to assist him in creating, in procreating. And Brahmaji had a great expectation from these four sons, but then these four sons denies to cooperate with Brahmaji. So here is Brahmaji whose heart is torn apart. Here is Brahmaji who had to undergo so much penances, so much tapasya at the first go to get the knowledge to create. And when he creates someone, those personalities are not willing to assist him in his mission. And it's quite frustrating. If you have a deadline to achieve, you are on a mission, and someone who is supposed to assist you doesn't really help you, doesn't do the way you want him to do. That's quite frustrating. And here is Brahmaji, gets angry. But he can't get angry, so he suppresses his anger. He can't really express his anger. So his assistants are unwilling to cooperate. But still, in spite of all this, he is willing to cooperate. He is still willing to go on with this service. Not only that, after that, Brahmaji from the... when Brahmaji got angry, who came up? Rudra. Rudra started crying. He started crying, and then finally Rudra gave birth to many sons and grandsons. But then those grandsons and son, they started devastating the entire creation that was created by Brahmaji. Above all, they actually came and attacked Brahmaji. So Brahmaji was quite perplexed that someone whom I am creating, they are coming to destroy me only. So then Brahmaji had to request Rudra that you stop creating. So then Rudra, he entered forest and started performing tapasya. So a lot of impediments that a Brahmaji undergoes in his process of creation. But in spite of all the impediments, Brahmaji continues to cooperate with the Lord. So then... one more impediment that comes in the life of Brahmaji when he was about to create is Brahmaji gave birth to a daughter, and that daughter was so beautiful that Brahmaji got attracted to her. The mode of he was we cannot raise this question. The very fact that he was dealing with mode of passion, he was dealing with a high voltage power. If high voltage power is not dealt carefully and with caution, it may burn someone. So mode of passion is not easy to deal with. And Brahmaji, the internal conditioning comes out. A conditioning becomes an obstacle in the service of the Lord. There are external conflicts, internal conflicts. The internal conflict was Brahmaji's heart was not with him to create. The external conflicts were people were not willing to cooperate. And also the internal conditionings were troubling him to as an impediment in his service. So many a times we also in our process of service to the Lord may come across many impediments. But if we continue to be the cooperators, if we continue to assist the Lord in His mission, assist the Lord and His representatives in His mission, then Lord will empower us more and more. Prabhupada had a secretary. His name was Harikesh Swami. Harikesh Swami in 1976 was Prabhupada's personal secretary and his main service was typing for Prabhupada. Prabhupada saw Harikesh Swami one day typing and he told Harikesh Swami, "What are you doing here? You should be going to Russia and preaching." And when Harikesh Swami heard that, he was taken aback. He said, "Russia, impossible." Russia at that time, Soviet Union, had a severe laws against those who would preach about religion. It was a hardcore communist nation. And when Prabhupada told him, ordered him to go to Russia, he said, "Swamiji, I cannot go to Russia." So he was looking out for some excuse. So he said, "Swamiji, everyone there eats meat. But then you have told us and you have taught us that we should not eat meat. So I will not survive because you don't get anything there except meat. So I think I should not go because I will not survive." Prabhupada said, "You go to Russia, you eat meat but preach." Now when he heard that, of course the main purpose was not to eat meat, the main purpose was to preach. That's what Prabhupada wanted to emphasize. That was the main point. But when he heard Prabhupada saying this, he realized that this is Prabhupada's desire and I must follow. And Harikesh Swami, he went to Russia in 1976 and he created revolution. And now of today, we know what an amount of preaching that's happening in Russia. Every year there is an annual gathering that happens in Mayapur for Gaur Purnima festival. Initially there were only two groups. One group was Indian group and second group was international group. Now we have three groups. One is Indian group, second is international group and third is Russian group. There's a separate counter, there's a separate prasad that's made, there's a separate translation that happens for them. Because number of Russians coming to Mayapur are more or equal to number of international guests coming to Mayapur during Gaur Purnima. So this is a result. Initially we may not like to cooperate, but if we continue to cooperate with the mission of the Lord and His representatives, we will ourselves see the empowerment coming in our life. And then so this is third role that Brahmaji plays, is a role of a cooperator. The fourth role Brahmaji plays is a role of a mentor. Brahmaji is playing a role of an ideal and an honest guru or a mentor. In the second canto, this beautiful pastime comes when Narad Muni saw this wonderful creation created by Brahmaji and Narad Muni is asking, "Yadrupam yad adhistanam yat asvishtam idam prabho yat samstham yat param yatcha tat tatvam vada tatvatah." "My dear father, can you please describe the symptoms of this material world. Not only that, what is the background? What is supporting this material world? How it is created? How it is conserved? Not only that, you have created everything that's in the past. You are creating everything now, and you will continue to create in the future. So, you have the knowledge to create about this universe. It is just, all this knowledge is within your grip, like a small boy holding a amalaki fruit. So I want to know that, are you that supreme creator? It appears that you are the supreme based on your activities that you are performing, because they are so profound. And at that time, Brahmaji gives a very honest reply. Brahmaji says, Samyak karunikasyedam vatsate vichikitsitam yad aham cha udita saumya bhagavad virya darshane. Brahmaji is congratulating Narad Muni by telling, Narad, you have asked a perfect question out of your causeless mercy on all the living entities and upon me. Why? Because had you not asked this question today, the world would have remained in big ignorance or in big misunderstanding that I am the cause of this creation. But the fact is, I am not the cause. I am not the supreme cause of this creation. Yena sva rochisha vishvam rochitam rochayamyaham yatharkognir yathasomo yatharksha grihataraka. Brahmaji is saying that I am just like that diamond. A diamond may have the potency, the power to shine. But diamond on its own cannot shine unless and until a reflection falls. A light falls on the diamond. Similarly, Brahmaji says that I am creating, but my creation is all coming with the help of Lord's potency or Lord's effulgence, that is Brahma Jyoti. Just as the moon, the planets, the stars, they get all their power, they get all their light from sun. Yatharko agni yatha somo yatharksha grihataraka. So, and then he finally concludes, of course he goes on, but then one very important verse that he says is, Tasmai namo bhagavate vasudevaya dhimahi yanmayaya durjayaya mam vadanti jagadguru. That it is only by the illusion, the illusory energy of the Lord, that people actually call me Jagadguru. I am not Jagadguru. It is only Krishna who is Jagadguru. It is only through Krishna that I get the power to create. So based on just perception, to Narad Muni it appeared that Brahmaji is actually the supreme cause of all causes. But then Brahmaji clarifies by playing a role of an honest guru who doesn't claim himself to be God, but who guides his disciple to the right source. Brahmaji knew that if I convince just this son of mine, Narada, who is going to keep moving around, if this one son is convinced that I am God, then I don't need to preach that I am God. He will do all the needful. Because wherever he will go, he will spread my glories. But Brahmaji did not. In fact, today, in entire India, there is, I think, only one or two temples of Brahmaji. One is Pushkar and one temple that we see in Barsana. Had Brahmaji told that time to Narada that I am the supreme cause of all causes, Brahmaji would have had so many temples today of worship. But the very fact that Brahmaji is a very honest guru. 1968, Srila Prabhupada got many of his disciples, foreign disciples, American disciples, to India for the first time. And these disciples, they went to different organizations, and there they saw that all these organizations, they call their guru as God. So then they thought, maybe we made a mistake. Prabhupada was very humble that he did not call himself as God. And it is our foolishness that we fail to recognize Lord, we fail to recognize Srila Prabhupada as Krishna. So then they went to New Vrindavan again, and in the New Vrindavan festival, they started loudly proclaiming that actually Prabhupada is Krishna. And few devotees who have read Prabhupada books, they thought that there is something wrong happening here. So they wrote a telegram to Prabhupada, and when Prabhupada got to know that someone of his own disciples are claiming Prabhupada to be Krishna, Prabhupada was so wild, so heavy, and Prabhupada told them, Prabhupada ordered them to move out of ISKCON. Prabhupada said, you have all got contaminated by wrong type of association. Better you all get purified. So these disciples, they realized that actually they initially thought that we are doing a great service to the entire society by actually revealing the true identity of Prabhupada as Krishna. But then when they realized that they have made a mistake, they went to Prabhupada and begged for forgiveness. And Prabhupada told them, the only way you can be forgiven is when you get thoroughly purified. So you go to those places where there is no name of Krishna being chanted. So you go and preach to those remote places and preach the glories of Krishna. And then you all can be accepted back in ISKCON. So this is an ideal guru. That temptation of being called oneself as God is too much. But here is Prabhupada, an ideal guru in the line of Brahmaji, who doesn't claim himself to be God, but and perfect representative of God. So I'll just take, there are 9 more roles that Brahmaji, of course time is short. I'll just take few minutes and quickly go through those services that Brahmaji performs on the behalf of Lord. The fourth is Brahma. The first was creator, second was scholar, the third being cooperator, fourth being mentor, the fifth being delegator. Brahmaji delegates. That pastime comes in the third canto, how Brahmaji delegated this service. For someone who is a perfectionist and someone who knows that it is difficult to give that service to those who may not be able to perform it perfectly. It's not easy to delegate. Brahmaji is detached, and Brahmaji realized that in order to fulfill the desire of the Lord to create this entire universe and to speed up the process, I need to delegate. And that's how he delegates to his sons, mainly 14 Manus, and that's how this universe expands. The fifth is, in the fourth canto, Brahmaji appears at two places. So Brahmaji is now playing the role of a pacifier, where the fight took place between the associates of Lord Shiva and the associates of Daksha. And Lord Shiva, as soon as he got to know that Sati has burnt herself, Lord Shiva becomes very angry. And he gives birth to a personality called Veerabhadra. And this personality goes into the house of Daksha Prajapati, and he destroys the sacrificial arena. He tortures the Brahmanas like Bhrigu Muni. He removed the mustache and removed the eyes of this one more Rishi. And he broke the teeth of Pusha Rishi. And he beheaded Daksha Prajapati. So all these Brahmanas, they finally go to Brahmaji. And Brahmaji actually, on behalf of all these Brahmanas and demigods, he goes to Kailash, to Lord Shiva's abode, and offers beautiful prayers and pacifies Lord Shiva, taking a role of being a pacifier. Brahmaji again comes in the fourth canto, in the pastime of Prithu Maharaj, and he takes the role of being a mediator, where there was a fight that took place between Indra and Prithu Maharaj, and Brahmaji acts as a mediator and helps to stop this fight. That's the Brahmaji in the fourth canto, being a mediator and being a pacifier. In the fifth canto, Brahmaji appears as an advisor. He gives the right advice to Priyavrat Maharaj. And he tells that there is a great need for you not to enter a renounced order, but to enter into a household life. And you can perfect your household life by becoming Krishna conscious. Sthane sthita stuti gatam tanuvak manobhir. So that's the next role of Brahmaji. Brahmaji acts as an advisor or a reconciler. The next role that Brahmaji plays comes in the sixth canto, where Indra commits that mistake of offending his own guru, Brihaspati, and Brahma then takes a role of being a chastiser. He chastises Indra and tells that you are a foolish person. You have done a big mistake by offending your guru. But at the same time, he not only chastises, but he advises that, okay, you should now take help of a Brahmana, Vishwarup, and by this perform a yajna and then satisfy Brihaspati. The seventh canto, Brahmaji takes a role of a benedictor, where he is unbiased. Whoever performs tapasya, Brahmaji has to give benediction. And here Hiranyakashipu, he performs severe penances and Brahmaji appears and benedicts him. Brahmaji also appears in the same seventh canto by pushing Prahlad Maharaj ahead when Narsingdev appeared. All the demigods were very fearful and they were very fearful to approach Narsingdev, but then, so they approached Brahmaji and they said, you have to do, because it was you who actually benedicted Hiranyakashipu, and now because of Hiranyakashipu's terror, Narsingdev has appeared, and as a result now Narsingdev is angry, so you have to do something. So Brahmaji very intelligently he pushes Prahlad Maharaj ahead and tells that actually Lord Narsingdev more than anyone else. So, and Lord Vishnu also chastises Brahmaji here. Lord Vishnu chastises Brahmaji by telling that you should be careful next time when you give benediction to such deity. Eighth canto, Brahmaji appears and acts as a protector for all the demons. Demigods had an upper hand in their fight with the demons, and all the demigods decided that we have to kill these demons and we have to make their species extinct. But Brahmaji at that time, he appears and Brahmaji actually tells that demons also have a role to play. You have your place, demons also have their place. When they come and attack, you have the right to stop them, but you cannot kill them completely. So Brahmaji acts as a protector for all the demons and takes the side of all the demons. Because ultimately, demons and demigods are none other, but they are actually brothers, step-brothers. One coming from Diti and others coming from Aditi. And in the ninth canto, Brahmaji again appears in the eighth canto, Bali Maharaj pastimes. How on behalf of Bali Maharaj, Brahmaji is requesting the Lord that how much will you test your devotee? You are such a person, you just need one tulsi leaf to be satisfied. But here your disciple, your devotee has offered you everything, but still you are testing him. There has to be a limit to test. And then Brahmaji, he takes side of Bali Maharaj and he requests Lord to pardon and forgive Bali Maharaj. So this is a role of a guru. When a guru actually prays to Krishna, then all our wrong karmic reaction gets nullified. And in the 10th canto, Brahmaji plays a role of being a prayer and a facilitator. And Brahmaji facilitates the demigods to take darshan of Lord Vishnu, because even demigods cannot approach Lord Vishnu directly. It is only when Brahmaji prays on behalf of all the demigods, then at that time Lord Vishnu gives darshan, and Lord Vishnu tells that I will soon appear in the Yaduvamsha, and he advises all the demigods to take birth in Yaduvamsha. So he is taking a role of being a facilitator and prayer. In the 13th chapter, Brahmaji is offering beautiful prayers to Lord Krishna himself, wonderful prayers. We won't go into the details of those prayers. And in the 11th canto, now we see in the 6th chapter, Brahmaji has appeared, and Brahmaji is conveying on behalf of all the demigods that, my dear Lord, your time has come to go back to your abode. You have performed all, you have done the needful, all that was needed to fulfill the purpose of your coming to this world. That's the 11th canto. In the 12th canto, Brahmaji appears, where he is, different types of pralayas are explained, Namittika pralaya, Atyantika, and it is explained how Brahma's abode doesn't get destroyed, and Brahmaji meditates on Lord Krishna. That's 12th canto. So practically in all the cantos, Brahmaji appears and takes up different role in order to assist in the mission of Lord Krishna. And the greatest contribution that Brahmaji has offered to all of us is in the form of Brahma Samhita. Bhaktisiddhanta Sadhu Thakur writes that Brahma Samhita is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. And if one can understand Brahma Samhita, one can easily understand the position of Lord Krishna. So, Prabhupada was on the Pandal program at Calcutta. And he got a threat, constant threat. People would come and throw a cheat in that Pandal program. And in that cheat it was written, fly or die. Either you go away from here or you face death. But Prabhupada decided to conduct the Pandal program, and in the middle of the Pandal program in Calcutta, these Naxalites came and started making a big commotion. There were few chairs that were kept for the VIPs and those who had donated 1 rupee at that time. 1 rupee. So for them, some chairs were kept so that they can sit on the chairs. So, and these Naxalites, they started shouting, why there is so much discrimination, why chair for someone and why someone has to sit on the ground? Everyone should be given same equal position. Everyone should be sitting at one place. And at that time, they started banging the chairs right in the middle of the satsang program. And Prabhupada, devotees, they looked at Prabhupada, and Prabhupada took this kartal and started chanting, Chintamani Prakara Sadma Sukalpa Vriksha, and ended with Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Majami. And as soon as Prabhupada started chanting this Govindamadi Purusham, miraculously, all these Naxalites, they got scared and they just ran away, never to come back. So this is the faith that Prabhupada had in Lord Brahma's prayers, Govindamadi Purusham. And Prabhupada made these prayers famous practically, for next 10,000 years, when every single day in all the temples of ISKCON, during Sringar Arti, Sringar Darshan, this beautiful prayers of Brahmaji are being chanted, Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I am extremely sorry for going overboard. Thank you for your kind patience, listening and hearing. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Samaveda Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi.